All right. Perfect, everyone. Then we have a privilege tonight. Jaco Jansen van Rensburg is Jaco van Rensburg is going to preach here for us for tonight. For those of you that weren't here last week, we're obviously doing things a slight bit different. Jaco has joined us in the office. He's actually old hand in terms of shofar. He was with us initially when we planted the Tigerberg congregation. Liesl remembers him as well. That's a good sign. That means he's been with us forever. He was actually in the office at Tigerberg before I joined the office there. So this is very good. So we know one another for quite a while. He's been full-time in ministry again for the last year. Yeah, always been involved in church, actively involved, but again, full-time in ministry the last year. He has been actually at the church plant at Delft that runs from the Tigerberg office. What happened in the last month, we don't move slow here, was that we merged with a congregation in Canal Walk, Century City, and that's going to become, that's already a shofar congregation. And essentially, that congregation is going to run very close to this congregation. In fact, we're going to treat it like extension service. So essentially, what's going to happen is this is now the evening service for Shofar Cape Town, and that is going to be the morning service for Shofar Cape Town. So the role that Jaco is going to play, he's going to have pastoral oversight over that congregation in that area. He's also going to be involved in heading up evangelism in this congregation. So he's going to be a busy man. And I am not going to be disturbed drinking coffee and reading the Bible. So, yes, everything is working out perfectly till thus far. But what a privilege to have him and his wife. They've been married now for, what, 10 years? They've got three beautiful kids. He came to watch a rugby with us yesterday morning. Yes, we won't speak further of that. But it's such a privilege to have him here. And, yeah, let's welcome him. And yeah, let's hear. Oh, yes.
Yes, Century City. Hello, everybody. I'm Jaco. I'm married to Lee. I've got three children. Gustav is 6, Samuel is 4, and Lucy is 18 months. You've seen them, they were here last week. It's really a privilege to be here. Really excited about what God is doing. Just the whole Century City thing that happened now, and we were in Delft, like you've heard, involved there from September last year. Before that, just the elder at Tigerberg, just seeing that there's a need, and we reached out to Delft, the people who are coming to our church. So after doing translation in our services, we were capable of translating for about 10 guys of headsets and things like that. So later then, we just moved them back to Delft, where they come from. It's easier to invite people to church. Been there for a year. And then the whole thing of Century City happened. That's why I'm here tonight at Gardens. We're in partnership, part of the Shofar body. Very excited about what God is doing. There was a city church there. They called themselves the city church. And somebody else was the pastors had to leave to take to continue as a church of their father-in-law in Springs. And then a lot of things happened, and we had basically 2 weeks. Somebody else would have stepped in and taken over the church or to continue with the church. So then they pulled out, they approached Shofar, and I was in Jordan there with Pastor Fred, like I mentioned last week. You will remember, some of you. And so everything happened very quickly. Within 2 weeks, I just said, okay, there's a new church, Shofar Century City. I said, yes, we're ready to go. Before I left for Jordan, I just shortly, some of you have heard it, that I just told Lee, something is going to happen. I'm going to get a call from Pastor Hercules. They're going to move us from Delft. So obviously sitting in Jordan, and the call, the SMS came there, that Fred must tell the guys what he thinks about Jaco and Lee, and can they be at Century City. So I was sitting right next to him. And he just said, Jaco, you just received a new church. And I just said, okay. And Sia said, just say amen. So I said, amen. And here I am. Tonight, I joined Shofar in 1998. Okay, it's a long time ago. Just after primary school. Just joking. So, and then we were always a part of Shofar. The big thing for me, I was looking for a church, standing on the mountain, shouting out to God. I just said, rock my life. That everything was just like going like rustig. You read the Bible, but things are not happening. What you see in the Bible and you read in the Bible, I didn't see it in church. I knew there must be more. And everybody, it's a lot of my friends, they've been doing, they were busy with Shofar Bible School at the time. And I asked them questions and they said, no, this and this and this. And every time they refer back to Shofar Bible School. So I thought, okay, I'll do the Bible school. I don't want to join the church, but I want to do the Bible school because I want to know the stuff. So I was working through a few things at the time, a few doctrines and stuff. And so I did the Bible school exams. I know the right answers, although I didn't agree with everything. It's between me and you. So, and then obviously God is, yeah, I just became obedient to the word of God. And I saw the light, the truth. Amen. But through the years, for me, the main thing, and I'm so excited about everybody that's here, you become members. Because these days, you don't often see people committing anymore. Everybody want to go everywhere. They just want to go, come to church and go there and there. Everything must just be lacquer for me. Everything must be nice for me. Thinking about ourselves and what's the best for me. And not thinking what we can add. And today was so, tonight was so special in the worship where, as I should have said it, shared it maybe a little later, but I just saw a picture of a lot of trees before the plant stuff. So, and it is just like everybody is a, it's either small or big, you're just a, we're all trees. But we're not just coming here just to grow and just to make shade. And but everybody got a unique gift. Some of you have wooed for a boat or for these benches, or but each one, that wood or the leaves, or there's so many things that comes from trees. And we're not just here to just to grow and get more and more and more and become fat and strong and big, and then what then? There's no action. It's just like nothing. And I just saw there's so much potential. And what's so amazing of everybody standing here, I just know that God is just waiting for us just to respond. He's just waiting for us to say, okay, Lord, this is my house, this is my place, and I will build your house here. I will serve you. And that's always my heart, is to build God's house. That's why I'm still here. This is my place. You guys got your own place where you must be. Maybe some of you must be in the ministry. But each one must find their place, and that's where you will, I believe, excel, and where you can just be everything that God has placed inside of you. Everything. You know, I was in Jordan. I told Pastor C, I said, I feel like I'm built for missions. It's just amazing. I just want to go. They say there's an unreached people group where you jump down a waterfall and must go in somewhere, and you can't come back the same way. So that sounds like I want to go tomorrow. It's like, okay. But some of you think, no, there's not going to be a shower, or it's maybe not water that's healthy, or you can't drink it. I'm thinking we just pray for the water, and if we're sick a few days, it's only a few days, and but there's things to do. So we're all different. We all got a place. But the thing is, it's not one that's better than anyone else. Each one of us got a role to play. And we need each other. So I can't just go there. It's everywhere there's things to do. Everywhere there's people that need Jesus. And today I just want to, tonight, just share a bit about evangelism. But just sharing Jesus. Just connecting with Jesus. Share a bit about my heart with you guys, because I'm really excited about what God is doing, but more excited about what God is doing in your life. And my what I love to do is just to pray for people and just to trust God for a word for someone, for a person. Because I just see every time when God touches your life, when God brings, where you just know this is God speaking to me, then your life is never the same again. Never. Then it's like in a moment, God can change a life and you will be going in one direction, you will be going in another direction. That's the God we serve, Almighty God. Now, I've experienced in my life and that I'm excited about what God is doing. I know some of you, you just desire that touch of God, touch of God's heart. And the great thing is, God wants to give it to you. It's really His heart to bless, just to connect with you. When I come home with my motorbike, then obviously it makes a big noise. So I go in and I park my bike, and Lucy says, "Ah, Daddy!" And she just starts running. And she just want to grab the bike, and I just want to stop her because the exhaust is quite hot. It's going to be difficult to get her off that thing once she's grabbed it. But so I just quickly get off and pick her up, and then I realize that if I get so excited about Lucy running to me when I get home, how much more God when we just run into His presence, we just run to Him, whatever is going on. But we think, I've got all these issues and all these things that I must sort out and this and this and this and this, and we forget that God came to us while we were still sinners without changing anything. But now He's saved and now suddenly we want to sort out this and this. When I come home, I don't find out if Lucy, if she was naughty or this, did she get, okay, she doesn't really get hidings yet. But the other two. But, yeah, just between me and you again. There's a lot of things about spanking going on. Anyway, guys. So, I don't care what she did during the day. I'm just blessed by her just running, just wanting to see me. And that's only me. That's like, I'm just a normal guy. How much more God when we run into His presence? So, before I continue, I'm just going to, you know, let me just first pray. Father God, we just thank You for tonight, God. It's a privilege, Lord, to be here, Lord, with friends, Lord, and fellow Christians, Lord, and just be in Your presence. And I thank You, God, for what You're doing. You're already busy talking to us, Lord, and we hear Your voice. And we say, have Your way in this place tonight, God. We open our hearts to receive from You. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to show you a short clip about how not to do evangelism. Okay, not.
You know, sometimes you can try to reach their head or their heart, and it's just not going to happen. You've got to really go out there and bring them in. You have to invite them in, essentially. And that's what we really like to do, is go around and just basically pull them into church.
Right, yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
Do you know Jesus?
Not personally.
You want to come to church with us?
No, thanks.
Ah, great!
You know, one of the challenges that we face is that people seem to run from the gospel sometimes, and you just have to take it to them. Mm-hmm.
And let us be very clear about this. In order to do what we do on a daily basis, you have to be bold. You cannot be ashamed.
Hey, what about those two?
Yeah.
Spirit leaders.
Let's go!
You have been chosen! You can't run from God!
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Father, amen. It's another one for the kingdom.
Okay, maybe it will work for some people. I don't know. Can be creative in sharing the good news. But that's just too, I don't want to win. Sometimes when we mention evangelism, then we get an idea in your head and we feel condemned and say, oh no, I'm not doing that and this and I don't like it. And there's a connectation to the word. And I don't want us tonight just to hang around that connectation. I'll just share some thoughts, and I really trust God that to stir something in your heart. As I just go along and share a bit about my life and what God has done in my life and what I've seen and experienced. And then again, it's just my story. I know you guys got your own stories. At Century City, I told the guy, this is our war stories. This is when we stand around the fire and we can share what God is doing and what He has done in our lives. And it's just amazing things because we serve a real God. He's alive. Amen. It's not a thingy that's somewhere. So, obviously, this is evangelism. Obviously, we want people to come into a relationship with Jesus. That's like a given. And we know that sometimes we want to say, no, it's so nice, you must just do this and this. And we don't get clear that there's a heaven and a hell and things like that. And God is a righteous God. He's a loving God, but He's also righteous and just. There's a consequences for sin. You can't get away from that. And that's all the truth. And I know that many of you, you're familiar with the normal things. But tonight, I basically want to share about just the heart. Just to something that must happen inside of us. Just to go out and to do something. To engage with people. Because we know the commandment that Jesus said, go into all the world and baptize. And the commandment is there. We must go. And sometimes you get together as friends, or you decide you're going to target a shopping mall, and you go in there, and you talk to a few people, and then you come home, and it wasn't so great, or something, maybe you've seen someone there that you like, and you got all distracted, and there's such weird things going on. But I just want to start off is we're just partnering with God. We're just in partnership with the Lord. Where God draws people, Jesus saves people, the Holy Spirit convicts. And we can pray for them. And we're there and we just share. The easiest thing for me is just to start with anyone, just to engage with them in whichever way, but then to share my experiences. In our house, we've put up what we call a memorial wall. There's some photos of moments where God has come through for me. I know this is God. Or just something of God's favor when I was stuck next to the N1 with a flat wheel, my bike. I can only push it that far. And somebody at random, they just stopped with a bucky. They just say, can I give you a lift to your house? We were still in Durbanville. And all of those things, that's just stories that I'm telling my kids. At night, they say, this is what happened. That is God's favor coming through for me. Or when I sat at work as a programmer, 3 days, didn't know what to do. And I just asked God, Lord, what is going on in the software? And I just got one line that said it's currently still running on Woolworth stills. I got one line and everything just starts to work. And I was really struggling. I just put it in and I test this, I test that, I test everything I can test. And everything is just working. And I'm not really sure why everything is working, but everything is working. And that is just God. Or supporting a guy in America on software. And I just got a thought that the following thing is going to happen. So I phoned you. Well, I sent him a mail. I said, you're going to get the following error. So this is the solution. And I just mailed it so long to him. And then he phoned back. He said, Aki, you're getting a bit scary now. Because obviously after he received the mail, then his system crashed and everything happened like that. But for me, that is just God speaking to us. That is what all of us are supposed to experience. Just walking with God. And the great thing is that is the partnership that we're in. God doesn't want... He can do a lot of, obviously, God can do a lot of things. He can do it on His own, but He wants to engage with us. He wants us to partner with Him. Same with my children. I want them to come with me, to see what I'm doing, just to share. When sometimes I tell them, you must go play with your toys, and they say, Daddy, you are our toy. So, I say, okay. Then you just play. So, I'm just going to, this one thing, sometimes we go around, we tell people a lot of things about Jesus, but it's good stories, it's things that really happened, but it happened for someone else. So I call it a second-hand revelation. And really, God's heart is for each one of us to have our own experience of God, our own first-hand revelation. There's a story that I've told in Tigerberg. Maybe, I don't think all of, not many know it, I've heard it. When I was at Stellenbosch starting out, I joined the squash club. I put my name on the board. There was a thing, if you want to play squash for Marty's, I thought it's just, you want to join the club. So I just bought my racket, my clothes, everything, so I put my name down. And then in the week, somebody phones me and says, Yaku, they really want to, I must come on Wednesday, and we must play, and they really want to see how good I can play. So I thought, this is really special. I just put my name down, I just want to join the club, they're phoning me. So I got there. What I didn't realize is there was only 50 names on that list for Stellenbosch. And that is the guys that they're going to play against each other to determine who's the Marty's number one, the first team, the second team, the third team for Marty's. But I got there and I said it's nice on the glass court, and I put my, well, I had only my racket. So I got to put my racket down, and this guy came around the corner and on his back says, like, SA number one. I thought, man, if I can beat this guy today, I will be famous. But then I saw this, and then more people come. There's like the coach came and other players, and later everybody was filling up the place. Because they realized that this is the only first year on the list. And they brought everybody to come and see. So I thought, if I can beat this guy today... Lee said she would have run away. I said, no, that's such a big opportunity. So I went there and I spun the racket. He said, don't spin, just take the ball and serve. I said, no, we must spin the racket. The arrow. So I said, no, you serve. I didn't see the ball again. 3 sets, 0-0-0. And it's free. But then, obviously, next week they phoned me again. And it continued for a couple of weeks. It was quite fun. Very, very short games. So, but for me, the thing is, I had a first-hand revelation of playing against the number one squash player. The student, the best student in the country. And I know they're really good. So I was there on the court, and we were playing. And that is that's what God wants for each one of us. Your own story, your own, where you were right there with God. He came through for you. That's a first-hand revelation. Something that you've got, and nobody can take it away from you. And God's nature is, we know God's nature is love. And then from love, He just gives. He gives us His Son that died on the cross for us. That is His nature. So for us, if we love God, that must be our nature as well. Often we just want to get things, and obviously when the children comes, I can speak from experience, then everything shuts down for a while. And the pastor phoned me, are you offended with the church or something? I said, no, it's just tough. Okay, it was tough. It was really tough with Gustav. I think from the third, they say from 3 children onwards, it's all the same. So, but what happens is, there's things that happen in our lives, and things that is something that gets, it's really important. And it's real things. For us, it's, when I was, let me not interrupt myself. But things are really important. Your work is, sometimes you think your work is really important. You want to invest in that thing. You want to build it, or a company, or a friendship. or whatever, and you almost like shut down, just thinking about yourself. And I've done it many times. And then I just realized that I get so selfish, and where God's heart is to give. God's heart is for people. He wants to connect with people wherever we go. And just in my, back to the most amazing things in my life that happened, obviously when I got saved, when I just realized what God has done for me, and that whole, it was almost too good to know that everything, and that God has paid the price for my sins, and just that thankfulness, and I realized it, and I just gave my heart to the Lord. And that's where my life really just got going. And sometimes we think we're just casual, we think we can just go around to come to church and do a lot of things, but we never come to a place of making that commitment. That's why I'm so blessed of everybody that stood here tonight, because I know that is like a stepping stone for something bigger, something, a next thing that's going to happen in their lives. Because we just go from glory to glory. And when we make commitments to God's house and God's church, God honors that commitment. And He's going to bless you guys. You will see something is going to change in your life. So after that, I got baptized of the Holy Spirit. That was coming down from the mountain. Where I said, Lord, just rock my life. And for me, that was amazing. Because I had so much that I wanted to figure out in my head. So many questions, so many things. And I walked into that small group that Wednesday evening. And the guy just said, hello, Yaku, are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? I said, wow, that's an interesting way to do it. But it was the right thing for me. Because I was so hungry. For me, I just needed that night. And then I went on missions to Rwanda. Before that, I went to Transkei and Malawi. But Rwanda was my first shofar missions with Pastor Sias. I still remember I phoned my mom. I told her Rwanda is 6,000, Malawi is 2,000, Namibia is 650. And she said, Yaku, I think you must go to Namibia. I said, no. Because money was a bit of an issue. Okay, so there's a challenge there, but the moment I signed up, after a few weeks, somebody came and they just paid the money, and it was just a great testimony again. So going there, I really struggled with hearing God's voice. Or I just have never experienced it. So I asked Pastor Sias tonight, I said, because just in sharing what we believe and share our stories, obviously it helps to hear God's voice. Okay, it just helps. You will know. And just because we can do things we can decide, I just wanted to go, and I think this is a good way of reaching people. But we haven't engaged God. We haven't asked God, Lord, this is what you want to do. Obviously, the people are on your heart. And how do you want to reach them? I want to be part of what you're doing. So I asked Pastor Sias. I said, I'm struggling with hearing God's voice. He said, okay, that's fine. We're just going to pray and you're going to hear God and He's going to give you a word for me. So let's do it. I said, no. I want to know how to hear God's voice. He said, no, Yaku, we're just going to pray now and do it. So, again, that worked for me. It was a massive, it blew my mind. So I thought, okay, let's just pray. So obviously, it was a very long prayer. Because I was just praying and praying about all kinds of stuff. Until I'm sure that I've heard something from God. And it was just a thought that came into my mind. Almost like a random thought. And then I just told, okay, this is what I feel. Maybe God is saying this and this. And He said, yes, that's it. So, and since that in my journey with the Lord, I just feel that it's important for someone to hear this. That often I would be praying and just walking in the mountains. I love the mountains. Just walking up and down. And then suddenly a random thought will just drop into my head. Or I will walk into this room and I'll just see someone, and it's just a thought
that comes, and it's almost like a thought about someone, and that is just how I got to know God speaking to me. But again, it's a personal thing. Sometimes when we see a recipe, you see this is how it works, and we want to take the recipe and apply it all over. But God is into relationships. Amen. Each one individual, your specific way that you're going to hear His voice. And if you're hungry for that, you will hear. You will hear God speaking to you. So, for me, just telling people about Jesus, just sharing the good news of the gospel, you just start, firstly, having this time of God. Just practical, spending time of God, trusting for encounters, moments of good with the Lord, that I know this is God. Because from that place to go out, it is not that difficult. I can just share what God has done for me. They must say that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. So, once you've experienced it, so it helps that you've experienced it yourself, okay? It sounds obvious, but sometimes we haven't come to the place where we made a commitment. We're doing a lot of good things. You come to church, you go with, tell people about Jesus, do a lot of things, but you're not standing still in your own life and just make right with the Lord. So, the other big thing in my life that happened was on church planting training. Obviously, through my life, I've had a desire for ministry and wanting to work for the church. It really affected our life because Lee was a chemical engineer. We got married. We moved to Clancy at the Beers, there in the West Coast, Springbok, N7. It's like a blank. Okay, N7 here at Century City, Namibia. And somewhere before you hit the border on your left, you go to the beach, there's Clancy. Okay, it's not there anymore, or the beer sold to mine. But it was a closed community, and we were there for 3 years. And I just sensed that, well, I wanted to work for the church. And I know it, so we resigned, we came to Shofar. After a year, that's why Tien said that I was in the office before him, because I was there in Tigerberg, IT administrator of Shofar, and had some ministry responsibilities. And then I just felt God telling me certain other things, and I went into an outdoor shop, tried my outdoor shop, and selling gear and other things. But every time I just felt it, what I just did what I believe God is telling me to do. Sometimes we make mistakes. You will make mistakes as well. But I still believe that once we are obedient to your conviction, that it still blesses God. Because you step out in faith. I wasn't sure if it's going to work, but I was sure of God. And I was sure of God's faithfulness and that He's with me. And that's why we moved to Clancy. That's why I resigned, started the outdoor shop, did a lot of things, because God is faithful. We make a lot of mistakes. I made mistakes. So me and Froki say, okay, right, you're going to do it. And he'd say, okay, but did you think about everything? I'd say, ugh, I don't have to think about everything. Just go. So we are very different. When we do that personality thingies, Myers-Briggs, the DISC profile, whatever Lee is, I'm opposite. Okay? The Myers-Briggs, I don't know if you know Myers-Briggs. They give the 16 blocks. Then there's like a sentence that they say, like a summary of this profile. For Lee's type, they say, don't work so hard. Start playing. And for me, they said, stop playing, start working. it's great. So now I work much harder, but she's not playing so much yet. But yeah, that's us. We're finding each other there. in the middle. So that was now there's a lot of things. There's a story following God. And the same thing for you. God put things on your heart, things, but it's a step of obedience. It's the same thing when you do evangelism. When I see people, I don't go to everyone that I see every day. Some days I say, okay, Lord, if I walk out the door, I'm going to just trust, just see what you want to do to every person. If there's something, because obviously God loves people. When I'm standing in front of you guys, I'm so aware of God's love for us and for you that I know God speaks, He's speaking to us. And I know He gives us words, and because that's just God's heart. And it's the same thing for people when we, wherever we go. But the thing is, we must be obedient to what God is telling us to do, because it's not always convenient. And then we must pray for that love, the love of God, because the love of God compels us. It's that compassion, that love of God, that will move us. I still remember the SOS, the School of Supernatural Training, and I came out of that, going home, it's 10 o'clock, the Friday evening, I just want to go home. So I walked past this lady that was cleaning there in the Nielsi, and I thought, I got that thought. That someone in a family is sick. I said, no, maybe it's not from the Lord. I just moved. I want to get home. So I got in my car and I start the car and everything. As I drive, I said, okay. Let's go back. Because the thing is, it's not only about ourselves. God is telling us, you want to partner with us when there's something amazing that can happen in that person's life. Once we start, once we engage with them, and their life can change. And I can go home again and I will be still as blessed as before. Even more when you experience God working. So I went back to the lady and I asked her about this. I just told her, it might sound weird, but I walked past you. I just sensed God told me that someone in your family is sick. And she said, yes, there is someone that's sick, but can't you pray for my back? I said, okay. But I'm not here for your back. There's someone sick in your family, and you just confirmed it, so that's good. We're now going somewhere here. So I said, okay, no, but rather, okay, let's pray for your back. And I prayed a simple prayer. This God, because I want to get home as well and everything. And so God, heal her back and take away the pain in Jesus' name. And she said, wow, it's so amazing. And he started walking up and down and going wild. I said, no, come back. There's someone sick in your family. I want to pray for her. So eventually I prayed for that person. But that night I realized that if I didn't go back, I would have missed out on so much. And the lady would have missed out on so much. So sometimes there is an inconvenience. And it's not always nice, but it's not only about ourselves. And that, for me, is something that I must, it's challenging me a lot. That thing that you go down the street, obviously not everybody, the amazing thing is this, God will highlight certain people. Filling up my bike at the garage about a month or so ago, and there was just a lady, she didn't walk comfortably, she was struggling a bit, and I just sense God's love for that person. And I just realized, wow, I need to pray with her. But now there's a lot of guys, and it's a noise, and it's chaos at the garage. It's just, and I got her there at my bike, and I said, is it okay if I pray for you? I just sense God wants me to pray for this leg. He said, yes, it's fine. And at that moment, the guys that are coming there, they sit there with their radio all night. So they're listening to this pumping music, and I thought, okay, Lord, I really sense that you want to touch this person here tonight. So I might be wrong, but I'm just going to be obedient. Pray for her, and she is, God healed her. It was not a special prayer or anything. I just know that, God is just amazing. So, and I realized that as we go, as we walk, as we go on with life, God highlights certain people on our path. And then once you've highlighted someone, then sometimes it's a bit inconvenient. Sometimes you think, ugh, not now, not now. And it's like, well. But then once you're obedient and you see what God is doing, it is amazing. Because the scripture says that in heaven, the angels rejoice when one person turns to Jesus. There's just a lot of things that's happening. And that's what I just want to encourage you guys. Firstly, I pray for the love of God every day. I just ask God, Lord, give me the heart for people. Give me just a heart when I walk and highlight certain people. Because then it's easy. Once God has highlighted a certain person and you feel that this is what you must do, then it's not that pressure. It's not a surprise. Most of the time, the person is so glad. You're just coming. You're just confirming what God is already doing in their life. There's nothing like that. Pulling people in cars and diving them in the river. It's not so difficult. But I must pray for that love and be obedient. Two key things for me. And it's inconvenience sometimes. And I just believe that we must ask the straight questions. Lee and I, we just in Delft, where we've been, some guys, they believe they can do a lot of things because in the culture, it is fine. And I say, no, guys, listen, this is the Bible. They say, no, everybody is doing it. That's like what Gustav is telling me, or Samuel. They're like 4 and 6. So I said, no, it's not fine. It's not fine. If everybody's doing something, it doesn't make it right. But we somehow think that it's okay. We can just go on with doing whatever. And it's not okay. There's consequences for whatever is in our lives. So I told the guys, and then they say, no, they want to see me, the couple, and I sit in their house. There's two people in church. And I say, Yaku. Well, they said, Pastor Yaku. I said, we really so excited about what God is doing. And we want to just make right with the Lord. So I said, okay, that's good. So I said, do you want to give your heart to the Lord? Or what's that? Because they speak so vague. It's like, I don't know. Because then I realized sometimes we must just ask the question. Just get to the point. Because often people is not comfortable. They want to tell you something. But now you're thinking, oh, I don't know how it's going to feel if I ask this to them. And then I just asked him, if they want to give their heart to the Lord. Because it would be my privilege to pray with them. And then if they're really serious about following God, I challenge them to move out. In Delft, it's a big issue, housing. And obviously, most of the guys, they don't have work, so they stay together. Okay, some tell you that they're staying with their sister, but it's not really their sister. They just call her their sister. If you say it's the same mother, they said, no, no, no. So what I told that couple is, I said, if you are serious about following God, make right with the Lord, then one of you two must move out. One of you, then, and they actually said, I felt at the time, I thought, wow, maybe it's going to be a little bit of an inconvenience. Maybe I must not ask them this. So I was battling with this thing, and they sitting there, and I just decided this is nonsense. This is like, I must just be confident. This is what I believe God wants to do here. They moved out. The lady moved to another place. He moved in with a real sister. And God just did amazing things in their lives. We got money together. They went back to Zimbabwe. They got married. They came back. They moved back together. And God just moved them to another level. Just from that place of obedience. Because sometimes you're so afraid that you're going to offend someone, so you'd rather not say anything. We're obedient to what God is telling us to do. But there's a place we must speak into someone's life. You know what's going on. You guys are in small group together, and that's the best thing. Because in my house,